in the Easter season. Naturally, we spend a lot of time reflecting on the passages about what Jesus did after the resurrection. The words he said, the revealing of his wounds, the revealing of himself alive, that's been especially the focus of the early part of Easter. But we don't have that much of what he said. And some of what he said is, remember what I told you before. One of the lines at the end of Luke's gospel comes to my mind when the risen Lord is speaking to the apostles. He says, remember what I told you when I was still with you. As if to say, I'm not with you now, when I was still with you, meaning in my natural life, not in the risen life. Remember what I told you when I was still with you. Well, that's what we're doing in the middle part of Easter. We're remembering what Jesus told us when he was still with us, especially what he told us at the Last Supper. So today's gospel is an example of that. This is from John chapter 15, right in the middle of the long discourse he gives at the Last Supper. Here he identifies himself as the vine, and he identifies us as branches on the vine. It's a simple enough image, a natural image. It's amazing how much we can learn from nature, plants, growing things. It's no accident that Jesus identifies himself as a vine and also as a grain of wheat. They're Eucharistic roots. No, vines are where we get grapes from, where we get wine from, grain of wheat, where we get wheat from, where we get bread from. No vine, no wheat, no wine, no bread, no Eucharist. So Jesus is touching on some of the roots of how he conveys his life to us. But here the idea is a plant, a vine. A plant, of course, rooted in the earth, a plant which grows, and particularly a vine. A vine can go very long. It can get very far from the root. But ultimately, the goal of that vine is to produce the grapes, the fruit. So he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. So how we remain, how we bear fruit is by remaining in him. Something to reflect on a little bit. Just to reflect on the nature of a plant. Psychologists will tell us this. If you are feeling stressed or burdened, it's good to be in nature. It's good to be in a natural setting. Why do retreat houses? Why are they always put in natural places? Mountains, gardens, forests, places where you can observe nature, because nature is a reflection of God. It's a work of God. We can reflect on a bridge or something. We can reflect on a big building or a great work of man. But something about a work of man does not usually raise our minds to God in the same way, because we can look at that man-made thing and say, well, it could be done differently. You could make the bridge higher, more lanes. You could make the building taller. You could make the car faster. You could do it differently. And that would be legitimate because it's a man-made thing. But when we look at natural things, we have to accept their nature and accept their limitations. We can improve them. We can prune the vine. We can make it more fruitful, but we can't make it into a mango tree. We can't violate its nature. We have to cooperate with what it is. And this is really important. It's a part of why it's psychologically healthy and spiritually healthy to reflect on natural things, because it helps us recognize how to cooperate with God, ourselves, and not be something that we're not. So just as a vine cannot produce mangoes or pineapples or oranges, well, neither can we produce what God did not make us to produce. We cannot be, and we should not try to be, what we're not. Perhaps this comes to mind because there's so many areas of life nowadays that are so confused, and people don't even know what they are. Years ago, or maybe 30 years ago, there was a big debate about what a family is. What's a family? They could not define the family, the UN. Now they can't even define a man or a woman. If you ask, what is a woman? They don't have any answer. It's not based on chromosomes anymore. It's not based on physical attributes anymore. It's not based on capacity for bearing life anymore. It's just whatever you decide it to be. So that anyone can claim to be a woman. It's like a vine claiming to be a mango tree. It can only lead to disaster. It cannot bear good fruit. Now, when we think about bearing fruit, especially because we're modern people and we think in terms of success, achievement, what we produce, we think of bearing fruit as something that we do, something we accomplish. We want to bear much fruit. We want to work hard, make more of ourselves, climb the ladder of success, and we'll be something. Now, there's something to that, of course. Because we are supposed to work hard. We are supposed to develop ourselves. We are supposed to bear fruit, but only in accord with who we are. That is, in accord with the will of God. I was thinking about the saints. You know, saints bear much fruit. Think of Mother Teresa or somebody. My goodness. What extraordinary fruit. But that's because she cooperated with what God asked her to do. And she was who God made her to be. If Saint Athanasius decided to be Mother Teresa, it would be a disaster. Saint Athanasius is today's saint, you know. Great doctor of the church, great, extraordinary man. But he wasn't Mother Teresa. He was Athanasius. And if Mother Teresa decided to be Athanasius, it would be a disaster. It would bear no fruit. So we have to be who we are. Now, I'm building up to what Jesus talks about so clearly in this gospel, this concept of remaining. We don't bear fruit because we try harder and we decide to accomplish. We bear fruit because we remain. We remain on the vine. We remain in him, and he remains in us. Bearing fruit is entirely dependent on him. If we remain in him, and we allow him to remain in us, his word to remain in us, the fruit that we bear is the fruit that he produces in us. It's both his work and our work. His work, because he created us, he made us who we are, he made us naturally fruitful. Our work, because we choose to be who we are, to remain in him. This remain or abide. This is one of the key concepts of St. John. We see it both in today's second reading and in today's gospel, the necessity of abiding, of remaining, of keeping a constant intimacy, a lasting connection. Without that, we can do nothing. It's an absolute distinction. Either we're attached to the vine or we're not. Either we're remaining or we're not. Either we are genuinely fruitful or we're not. In the second reading, John says, "Let us love, not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." Love is not simply what I say, although we can say loving words, but love is lived, deed and truth. It's expressed by our whole way of life. And that bears fruit when we are remaining on the vine, when we're remaining in the Lord. Because it's God's love flowing through us. It's not just our love. It's not just our achievement of a certain emotional state or a certain connection. No, it's divine love flowing through us just as the life of the vine flows through the branches. And we can reflect on this in many ways. We all want to bear fruit, but the fruit that we bear has to be consistent with who God made us to be. Now, I was reflecting on the saints, and what came back to my mind was what we were sharing yesterday, the prayer of St. Padre Pio. He has this prayer, "Stay with me, Lord." It's a prayer for after communion. So when we receive Holy Communion, the Lord is with us. He is with us. How can you have a deeper communion with the Lord? How can he remain with us or us remain in him any better than when we receive Holy Communion? But will we remain with him and will he remain with us? So that's the prayer of St. Padre Pio. I looked this up just to get the sense of it. It's a little longer than I realized, but it's a beautiful reflection on the very thing that this gospel is about. He doesn't talk about being a branch on the vine, not literally, but the spirit of it is the same. So I want to read this prayer. It's both a prayer and a pondering of what it means to remain, what it means to abide. So St. Padre Pio's prayer after Holy Communion. You'll see what it says. It's not only a request that the Lord stay with us, stay with me, Lord, but stay with me so that I stay with you. Be with me so that I can be with you. It's a beautiful prayer. Stay with me, Lord, for it is necessary to have you present so that I do not forget you. You know how easily I abandon you. Stay with me, Lord, because I am weak and I need your strength so that I may not fall so often. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my life, and without you, I am without fervor. Stay with me, Lord, for you are my light, and without you, I am in darkness. Stay with me, Lord, to show me your will. Stay with me, Lord, so that I hear your voice and follow you. Stay with me, Lord, for I desire to love you very much and always be in your company. Stay with me, Lord, if you wish me to be faithful to you. Stay with me, Lord, for as poor as my soul is, I want it to be a place of consolation for you, a nest of love. Stay with me, Jesus, for it is getting late and the day is coming to a close and life passes. Death, judgment, eternity approaches. It is necessary to renew my strength so that I will not stop along the way. And for that, I need you. It is getting late and death approaches. I fear the darkness, the temptations, the dryness, the cross, the sorrows. Oh, how I need you, my Jesus, in this night of exile. Stay with me tonight, Jesus, in life with all its dangers. I need you. Let me recognize you as your disciples did at the breaking of the bread, so that the Eucharistic communion be the light which disperses the darkness, the force which sustains me, the unique joy of my heart. Stay with me, Lord, because at the hour of my death, I want to remain united to you, if not by communion, at least by grace and love. Stay with me, Jesus. I do not ask for divine consolation because I do not merit it, but the gift of your presence. Oh, yes, I ask this of you. Stay with me, Lord, for it is you alone I look for, your love, your grace, your will, your heart, your spirit, because I love you and ask no other reward but to love you more and more. With a firm love, I will love you with all my heart while on earth and continue to love you perfectly during all eternity. Amen.